Welcome to the podcast of Mike Frazier, Senior Pastor of Canton Baptist Temple. Here you can learn and understand the truths of God's Word so that you may live out those truths. To get a glimpse of what is taking place at our church and to hear more of Mike Frazier, visit our website, cantonbaptist.org. If you have any questions or comments, we would like to hear from you. Please email us at radio@cantonbaptist.org. Now let's join Mike Frazier.
Now, today I want to take a few minutes and I want to talk about the greatest name that we have ever heard in all the world, and that is the name Jesus. That's the name that I want to talk about here today. As the songwriter says, Jesus, oh, how sweet the name. Jesus, every day the same. Jesus, let all saints proclaim its worthy praise forever. Have you found Philippians chapter 2? Let's begin looking in verse 5. Philippians 2, beginning in verse 5, and I'm going to read down to verse 11. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, what that verse is saying, that we ought to think like Jesus thought, right? If Jesus thinks a certain way, then we ought to think like Jesus. By the way, if you want to live like Jesus, you have to think like Jesus. Does that make sense? When we begin to think like Jesus, we'll begin to live like Jesus. You say, how do I think like Jesus? You got to get your mind saturated with the truth of this book right here, the Bible, the inspired Word of God. And when we begin to think biblically, we will live biblically. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What is the thinking that he had? Verse 6, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Let me stop right there. If Jesus was God in flesh, and he was God in flesh, and he's still God at this very moment, if Jesus, who was God, could have been anything he wanted to be, why would he choose to be a servant? Yet the Bible says in the Gospel of John, whenever all things were entrusted into his hands, he chose to what? Wash the feet of his disciples. Out of all the things in the world that Jesus could have chosen to be, he chose to be a servant. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. If Jesus, the very Son of God, assumed the position of being a servant, don't you think that should be our position? You say, oh, I'm too good. People ought to serve me. Nope, that's not the mind of Jesus. The mind of Jesus was, I did not come to be served, I came to serve, to be a servant. Look at the next verse. And being found in fashion as a man, 100% God, but 100% man at the same time, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Aren't you glad that Jesus was obedient unto death? When we were walking through the Garden of Gethsemane, and our tour guide was showing us some of those olive trees and telling us that there were 8 of those olive trees there in that garden that they believe went all the way back 2,000 years through the research of the rings within the tree. They trace it back to be as old as 2,000 years old, olive trees that are there, huge, huge trunks on those olive trees. And as we were there in the Garden of Gethsemane and thinking about Jesus when he was saying to God the Father, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. The obedience, think about it. Jesus was obedient and he went to the cross and he took our sin upon himself and he died for us on that old rugged cross. Don't you ever, ever get over your salvation. Don't ever get beyond the cross. That's where our journey with Christ began, when we understood who he was and what he had accomplished for us on the cross. He was obedient even to the death of the cross. Then notice verse 9, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Look back at verse 9. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Think about the name of Jesus with me this morning. I want to give you several thoughts about that name. Number one, his name is a saving name. I think of Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21, where the angel told Joseph, thou shalt call his name, what? Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. The name Jesus equals salvation, right? When we hear the name Jesus, we think of salvation. I think of Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, where Peter boldly proclaimed, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other, what? Name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus was a teacher. Jesus was a preacher. Jesus was a healer. Jesus was an example. But primarily, Jesus was and Jesus is the Savior. He's the Savior. God sent his only begotten Son into the world to save sinners like you and me. I think of Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, where Jesus said, the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to save lost sinners. 1 Timothy 1 verse 15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Jesus says in John chapter 6 verse 37, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Aren't you thankful that Jesus didn't turn you away when you came to him? Jesus has promised to save those who by faith come to him for salvation. Man may break promises, but I want you to know that the Lord has never broken a promise, and he never will break a promise. He says, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Every person who has ever come to Christ has been gloriously saved. I would say that the vast majority of you that I'm looking at here this morning, here in this auditorium, you are here today and you can testify to the fact that God has gloriously saved you. If you're saved here today, why don't you just raise your hand as a testimony? Isn't it awesome to know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior? There was a point in time in our lives when we felt the convicting work of the Holy Spirit, whatever you want to call it, the tug of the Holy Spirit, where the Holy Spirit squeezed our hearts and we came under conviction of the fact that we were a sinner in need of the Savior, and we repented of our sins and we received Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. And the moment that we put our faith, our trust in Christ and in Christ alone, we experience the truth of 1 John 1 and verse 7. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. The moment you got saved, all your sins were washed away. The forgiveness of sins was yours. Eternal life and eternal home in heaven. You see, for those of us who call ourselves Christians, that is, believers in Jesus Christ, the name Jesus means that we have been gloriously saved and our lives have been supernaturally transformed by his resurrecting power. No wonder the songwriter says, Jesus is the sweetest name I know. When we think and when we hear that name, Jesus, we say that is a saving name. There's no other salvation. I can mention the name Buddha here this morning, and I want you to know there's no salvation in Buddha. I can mention the name Allah here this morning, and I want you to know that the God of the Bible is not the Allah of Islam. Allah cannot offer salvation. As a matter of fact, the Quran teaches ultimately that salvation is by good works. That somehow at the end of our life, according to Islam, all of our good works are going to be put on this side of the scale and all of our bad works on this side of the scale. And whichever one weighs more is whether or not you're going to get into heaven or not. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that salvation is not by good works, but it is all by God's grace through faith in His Son, Jesus Christ. Christ alone, plus nothing and minus nothing. No wonder, again, the songwriter says, Jesus is the sweetest name I know. Number two, His name is a precious name. His name is a precious name. Look over, if you will, at 1 Peter 2. I want to show you something in this verse. 1 Peter, just flip over a few pages there in the New Testament. 1 Peter 2 and verse 7. The Apostle Peter, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, writes these words to us, "Unto you therefore which believe." Well, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, he's talking about you. For those of us who call ourselves Christians, "Unto you therefore which believe, he is" what? Precious. He is precious. Circle that word precious in your Bible, and maybe write off in the margin of your Bible. The Greek word that is translated precious there means value or priceless. That's the idea behind it. Jesus, that name has great, great value to us. The person of Christ is priceless to us who call ourselves Christians. Those of us who have been gloriously saved, the name Jesus is precious. As the psalmist said, "He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock and establish my goings." But the name Jesus is not only precious because of what he has done for us, but I believe the name Jesus is precious because of what he is doing right now for us. Well, you say, what is he doing right now? Well, first of all, the Bible says that he is keeping us. You didn't save yourself, and it's not up to you to keep yourself saved. You weren't saved by good works, and good works won't keep you saved. You see, we were saved by God's grace, and it is by God's grace that he keeps us saved. Psalm 121, verse 3, "He that keepeth thee will not slumber." Jesus said in John 10, verse 28, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." The Lord Jesus saved us, and he is right now at this very moment, he is keeping us eternally secure in the palm of his hand. We are the sheep of his pasture, and he has promised that those who believe in him will never perish. My dear friend, I'm not counting on me and myself and what I can accomplish to get to heaven. I'm counting on what Jesus did and what Jesus has promised, that no man will pluck a believer out of his hand. But he's also precious because of not only that, but he answers our prayers. Think about how awesome it is to go to the Lord in prayer and to know that God hears our prayers and answers our prayers according to his will. At this very moment, he is interceding for you. Hebrews 7, verse 25 says, "He ever liveth to make intercession for them." But not only is he precious because of what he has done for us and because of what he is doing right now for us, but he is precious because of what he will do for us in the future. John 14, verse 2 and 3, I go, Jesus says, to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Either by the rapture or by death, one day the Lord Jesus is going to take us home to be with him. And I want you to know that heaven is going to be more beautiful. It's going to be more wonderful than you could ever imagine. Think about that name, Jesus. You used to be a lost sinner. Think about who you are today. Think about all that God has promised you in the future. It's all because of Jesus. Jesus. So why do we come together and we talk so much about Jesus and we sing about Jesus and we preach about Jesus and we go to children's ministries and they're talking about Jesus and you go to senior adult ministries and they're still talking about Jesus? Because that's the name that we want to lift up here at Canton Baptist Temple. It's the name Jesus. It's a saving name. It's a precious name. It has great value. His name is priceless to us. And then number three. His name is a comforting name. Back to John chapter 14, Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. What is Jesus saying there? I believe he's just simply saying, trust me. Trust me. That's what Jesus is saying. Just trust me. There are many times in our lives when our hearts are hurting. And we need the comfort, we need the peace, we need the strength, the grace that only Christ can give. He gives comfort when we go through the valley of tears, when our hearts are overwhelmed with sadness. He's there to give us comfort. He gives us comfort when death comes knocking at the door. Before I left for the trip for Israel and Greece, Rachel and I went by to visit Wayne and Connie Carter. And while I was gone, Wayne went home to be with the Lord. I knew when I was there that that would probably be the last time that I would see Wayne this side of heaven. But I couldn't help but notice the comfort, the peace, the strength that the Lord had given, not only to Wayne, which was, he was really struggling, but given to Connie. Connie, yeah, were there tears? Yes. Was there pain and hurt? Yes. But God was there, and she was finding that in the name of Jesus, there's comfort, there's great comfort, there's strength, there's peace, there's grace that he will give you in that time of need. Some of you probably today have gone through some deep, dark valleys, and you've gone through some tough times in your life, and you're here to say today, I don't know how I would have ever made it without Jesus. I go to funeral homes and I go to hospitals and visit with people, and I often think to myself, how do lost people do it? How do they get through those difficult times? Aren't you thankful that his name is a comforting name? And then number four, his name is a conquering name. Now that might sound a little bit strange, but I want to sort of explain what I mean by that. Number one, his name is conquering many in Judaism. Many Jews are finding that the Jesus of the New Testament is the Jehovah of the Old Testament. And Jews are coming to Christ all around the world. I would ask today that you would specifically pray for the tour guide that we had over in Israel. His name is Malcolm. I believe he's been giving tours for over 40 years, I believe is what he said. As a matter of fact, John and Julie Seibel, who went on the trip, said that the first time that they went, they had Malcolm as a tour guide then as well. Malcolm knows the Old Testament, New Testament. He knows how it all fits together. He has a lot of information about the Bible, but he's never trusted Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. And Lewis again asked him, have you made that decision? Where are you on that? And he still hasn't made that. And he said, you know, we're praying for you. You know, Malcolm, that we are praying that you will open your heart and receive Christ as your personal Savior. I don't know how many of you have a daily prayer life, but I hope that you will add Malcolm's name. You say, I never met Malcolm. I don't know who he is. God knows who he is. And I want you to begin to pray for his salvation. There are Jewish people that are coming to salvation in Christ all around the world. His name is conquering those in Judaism. His name is conquering many in Buddhism. Those who have been worshiping dead idols are coming to faith in the living Savior, Jesus Christ. I saw those conversions firsthand growing up in Japan and watching how Japanese people would worship idols. But then when they got saved, they would burn those idols and they would reject the concept of pantheism. And they believed that there was only one true living God. Jesus makes all the difference in the world. And then his name is conquering many in Islam. While in Athens, Greece, we had the opportunity to go and visit the ministry there that we support through George and Louisa Damakos and also James and Christina Cindy. And they are ministering right in the heart of Athens. And we heard the testimonies of several Iranians. I don't know if you realize it or not, but Athens is a port of entry where people are coming from a lot of Islamic countries, escaping those countries and flowing into Europe. And that point of entry for many, many thousands of them are right there in Athens, Greece. And George Damakos and James Cindy, they are preaching the gospel. And these Iranians are coming to faith in Christ. And those 28 that went on to Greece, I believe they would say that was the highlight of the trip there in Greece, is whenever we were able to go and have a meal with those dear people and to hear those Iranians get up and talk about what they had been through and how that there came a point where they heard the gospel and they trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. I guarantee you that all of us that were there from Canton Baptist Temple at some point got a little emotional inside, hearing those testimonies and seeing what God had done in their lives. Jesus Christ does not conquer with sword or gun or bomb, but rather he conquers with his love. His name is conquering many in religion. Those who thought that salvation was by good works, they come to realize that salvation is by God's grace through faith in his Son, Jesus Christ. There are those that are just wondering if there's any hope. Probably the highlight of the trip was the very last day when we were leaving the hotel there in Athens, Greece, and we were down in the lobby and trying to get our suitcases all together, and Lewis McClendon had the opportunity of witnessing to the lady that was guiding us back to the airport and getting everything smoothly done there, getting us back on home to the USA. And he had the opportunity to talk to her, and she began to cry, and he shared the gospel of Jesus Christ with her. Her name is Sophia, and there she accepted Christ as her personal Savior right there in the lobby of that hotel. Isn't that what it's all about? You see, the name of Jesus is conquering thousands of souls every day all around the world. We have heard the joyful sound, the hymn writer writes, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Spread the tidings all around, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Bear the news to every land, climb the steeps and cross the waves. Onward, 'tis our Lord's command, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. That name Jesus is a conquering name. But lastly, I want to show you here in Philippians chapter 2 that his name is and his name will be an exalted name. Look again at verse 9. Philippians 2 and verse 9 says, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Throughout the centuries, many names have been exalted by men. It was interesting as we would go to different old sites, archaeological sites and digs, places that we read about in the Bible. And many times Malcolm would show us the stone walls, and he would show us each level how it was different. One civilization building upon another civilization upon another. And we thought about each civilization, and the leader who built that is now gone. Then there's another layer, and that civilization and that leader gone. And on we could go. You see, there have been many, many great names that have been exalted throughout the years. World leaders, kings, presidents. But I want you to know that our text here says that the name of Jesus will be exalted by God the Father himself. Jesus left the glory of heaven, and he came to this sin-infested world. 2 Corinthians 8:12 says that he was rich, and yet for our sakes he became poor. The King of Kings was born in the little town of Bethlehem. We had the opportunity to visit there in Bethlehem. And he was born and laid in the trough that an animal that would eat out of that trough. That's the only thing that Joseph and Mary had. So let's just lay baby Jesus right here in this trough. He was despised and he was debased, he was mocked, and he was scorned, and he was rejected, he was slapped, he was spit upon, and he was scourged with a whip. He died a shameful and a cruel death as he hung upon that cross. He died for our sins. He was buried, and as his body lay in the tomb, God the Father finally said, "Enough is enough." And Jesus was raised from the dead, and he ascended up into heaven, and he sat down at the right hand of God the Father, is what the Bible says. Listen to me, because no one else can sit on that throne. Peter cannot sit on the right hand of God the Father. Paul cannot sit on the right hand of God the Father. John the Baptist cannot sit on the right hand of God the Father. The great prophet Elijah cannot sit on the right hand of God the Father. No, only Jesus can occupy that throne that is located at the right hand of God the Father. You see, the name Jesus is the name that is above every name. Can I tell you something this morning? He's coming again. And at his second coming, he will sit on the throne of David in the city of Jerusalem, a city that has no peace today, a city which is occupied not only by Jews, but by Muslims and by Christians. No peace, living in fear. One day, the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ, will return. He will sit upon the throne of David, and he will rule and reign for 1,000 years from the city of Jerusalem. His garments will be as white as snow. His face will be brighter than the sun. And his hand will be the royal scepter, which represents universal dominion and power. No wonder the hymn writer says, "All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all." What does the name Jesus mean to you today? The name Jesus, the name that is above every name. Can you call Jesus your Savior today? If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I beg you, I invite you to come during the invitation and make the most important decision you've ever made in your life.
You have been listening to Mike Frazier, Senior Pastor of Canton Baptist Temple. Like Canton Baptist Temple on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Canton Baptist. We invite you to join us this coming Sunday to get a personal glimpse of what God is doing at our church. We'll meet you here again next week.